Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
So that's a very specific kind of project, and our NICE project is pretty different. Should we say any more? You got any more about Pulcher?
One of the questions that I had noted was to address what challenges did we face in making the Polk Street Review?
From the get-go, money was always my biggest worry. I had two worries. Was anybody going to submit if Bill and Kurt weren't the ones running it? Mm-hmm. And how the heck were we going to get money to do this? Mm-hmm. And to do it would be to have workshops, to have materials for workshops, to maybe bring in guest leaders, to publish the book. I mean, historically, we've done our own formatting, layout of the manuscript and everything. We put it all together, and then it just goes to an online printer. So it's much, that keeps costs down, but online printing costs money, and so does shipping, shipping 100 books, of no matter how thin or thick they are, is still, 100, I think 1 year we ordered 200, I mean, I don't even know, but it's, you have to, that money has to come from somewhere, and mm-hmm. when you're a very small volunteer nonprofit, that's why we have ad space. That we want local businesses to, put an ad in and pay us a little bit to have their ad in there so we can have that money. We ask our submitters to pre-order mm-hmm. a book. It's not a submission fee. Everybody thinks it is. They don't have to do it. And some of our submitters don't. But if every submitter pre-orders one book, then that gives us a little bit of working capital. We apply for grants as often and as beggingly as we can.
This is a great time to thank Indiana Arts Commission for helping fund this project.
Yes, Indiana Arts Commission, with the help of National Endowment for the Arts, has gave us a arts project grant for the 2020 edition. So the one that we just published, grateful thanks to them. They make all things possible, and they're really easy to work with. So I do encourage everybody to go on their website, and which I think is iac.gov, and check out all the different kind of grants they offer, because there's more than, they do have grants for individual artists too, mm-hmm. not just project, nonprofit arts organizations grants.
Well, just an interesting little note. When I was sitting at the book sale table the night of
yes. We have to say Deborah was our merch. Deborah hosted our merch table. Bless her heart.
The night of the book release party, you had done a fantastic introduction. The evening was started. The energies were there. The presentations were started, and the majority of those books that were sold at intermission.
Really?
People came up and it's. Do you have more copies of this? Can I buy this? And that's when we ran into the.
We had a little technical difficulty with our square. Was it working?
We sold more books at intermission after they got into the evening.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to hear. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I always assume it's
going
to be.
I caught them as they were going to the food table.
There you go. Yeah. Deborah has manned our merch table 2 years in a row now. And let me tell you, since Sarah E. and I are pretty much on stage and doing the emceeing and the hosting and everything, having you do the merch table has been a blessing. And you're so good at it. Jeez. That's wonderful to hear, because mm-hmm. that means people liked, what they were hearing, and they wanted to get the book. And I think it's very interesting. That's another thing we were talking about, presenting and being published. And I think our project is really cool, if I can pat ourselves on the back a bit, because we do offer that opportunity for people to speak out loud their prose, sing a song, their poetry, or present their artwork and talk a little bit about their art process. And then the audience has that experience of hearing that live presentation, which I love our videos, but it doesn't do justice to the energy, like you were just talking about, the energy in the room of those live book launches. But then they can take that book, and in the quiet of their morning, Sunday morning with coffee, or in evening with a glass of wine or whatever, they can read those things that they heard presented and read them, you know, on their own, in their own mind, and just take so much in with that. And I think that's such a wonderful symbiotic relationship between the presentations and the book launch and the eternal book, you know, that you get to have forever and go back to, you know, and go back to and reread that one or think about that poem again. I'm thinking about your poem.
I know a challenge, and you and I have talked about this a lot. How much to edit?
Oh gosh.
And it's, yeah, if it were like a certain, like if it were a newspaper, I would know this is the style. Yeah. These are the rules. Mm-hmm. This is exactly how we ought to edit this grammatical sentence. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with a wide range of experience level, sometimes you don't want to correct their natural voice because that's their voice. And I know with
and
poetry,
you don't, yeah, and you especially don't want to discourage them from expressing themselves.
Right.
Yeah. You and I kind of have agreed we don't edit poetry.
I edited it a little more than you did.
Well, okay, but we've pretty much, I mean, and actually we've been known to contact an author and say, okay, here's the poem you sent us. We feel like this word is not the word you meant. And, oh, yeah, that's a typo, you know. So, I think even poets who we know, I'm not going to name any names, but I'm thinking of this year, one of our dearest, most wonderful poets sent me an email and he said, I just caught a typo in one of my poems. And I'm like, don't worry, I already caught that, you know. So, you know, but as a general rule, I think we both kind of feel like poets are very kind of territorial about their work. And it sounds a certain way in their head and they know what that is. And I find it very hard to edit other poets.
I mess with them less than I do the prose, but there are some times that I will edit them.
Yeah.
But I find it more of an issue when you get into some of just the voice of a Hoosier.
Yeah.
There's a lovely Hoosier voice.
And we did have a couple of those,
If you were to take all the verbs that end in I-N and put G's on all the end of them, it would change the piece.
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah. So it's a catch-22 with poetry. Song lyrics I don't mess with because I am not a musician. Now, I read them as poems, but I know, for example, Steve Vandewater, he writes he's a musician friend of ours, and he submitted for a few years, so we've gotten to know him pretty well, and he was at the book launch and performed both of his songs, and you know, he's got a certain style. I can hear it in my head when I read his pieces. I kind of know what to expect, but the first time I ever, you know, read his lyrics as a submission, I didn't know him very well. And I couldn't wait for him to perform it because I was like, I don't know what this is going to sound like, you know?
Sure.
And that's what, you know, now that I know him, I know what to expect. But my point is that if a musician sends in lyrics, and we had two other musicians this year that I don't know who sent in lyrics, and I, you know, would never consider editing those because that has music behind it somehow. And that matters in, you know, how many syllables are in each line and everything. Mm-hmm. So I just like not mess with that, you know.
And I guess I just want to give a shout out to our viewers at home or our listeners at home.
Yeah.
But in designing your own project, that is one thing to consider is, how much do you edit your contributors, especially if they're from right out of your community? Again, striking that balance between getting a high quality product, but not wanting to discourage them, not wanting to change their voice so much it isn't their voice.
Yeah. Another thing to consider with submissions and editing, this is a little bit different. We'll talk about prose in a minute, but artwork submissions.
Mm.
We say in our call out, we want high resolution, large files. Okay, now people send us a cell phone shot, and they have not changed their cell phone settings to be high-res, large format. So we end up with what I consider a thumbnail-sized, you know, piece that is not going to print really well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be a gorgeous cell phone shot. I mean, you look at it on the phone, oh, it's a beautiful shot of a sunrise. Well, it's not going to print well. It's not going to go on a digital, like if it were in a digital exhibit, we have an online, on our website, we have our arts showcase online exhibits every few months with a different theme. And people will send in photos, they'll send in writings. It's the same kind of thing, you know, poetry, prose. You can even upload song, you know, we send us a song, we'll upload it, you know. and artwork and photographs. And man, I hate it when they send a photograph that is just not good resolution mm-hmm. and doesn't show well. Mm-hmm. So if you are publishing a book or something in print, you need to tell in your call out, you need to be very specific what you require for the final product. Mm-hmm. If you know what the final product needs, high resolution things, then try to get that from them. And I've been known to email submitters back and say, can you get, especially if it's like a photo of a painting that they did, can you please check your camera settings, get the highest possible resolution, take another photo, and send it to me. You know, I can edit photos a little bit in Photoshop and, you know, I can clean them up a little, but it really helps to have a quality photo in the first place. Mm-hmm. So that's something to consider. Now about pros. Let's talk about editing pros, because I could edit pros. Oh my gosh. I probably could over edit. It's hard for me to edit myself because I'm a long-winded writer, like I am a talker. And, of course, everything I write, I think makes perfect sense, you know. But what I have learned, both as a university-level professor, teacher, and grading papers, and as a Polk Street Review editor and such, these experiences have taught me that just because it makes sense to the writer in their mind doesn't mean the person reading it has a clue what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. And I will bless my mother every day for the lesson she taught me, because when she wanted me to publish her memoirs, she had a couple of collections of memoirs, and I was so hesitant to, you know, change a word or anything. But I realized as I read these stories, these memories that she had, that most of them I knew. I mean, I knew these stories before she wrote them down, so I knew what she was trying to say. But I was reading it as an editor, and I'm like, if you didn't know this woman and you didn't know these stories, you would not be able to follow what she's saying. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a style my mom had that was very almost Dr. Seuss-like. I mean, she was very lyrical and flowy, and sometimes there was almost like an assumption that, you know, she unconsciously was making that you knew what she meant or who she was talking about. Mm-hmm. And you had no idea who she was talking about, because, you know, if you have a, you say she, her, and you've already listed three women, mm-hmm. which one is the she and the her? Mm-hmm. Or are the she's and the her's two of those women? Or, you know, so I had to, you know, learn how to nicely talk to someone about making their writing more clear.
Sure.
And that's a challenge, because again, you don't want to discourage people. Right. You don't want to sound judgy or mean, mm-hmm. but you want them represented the best possible way.
Right.
So I struggle with the editing sometimes, and I know we've spent time mm-hmm. editing prose pieces in the Polk Street Review. I think we've gotten pretty good at it together. Mm-hmm. You know, knowing what's, oh, that's okay, leave that. Oh no, we've got to fix this, you know? So, so I think, but what do you, you tell me, so.
No, I think you're right. I think that over time we have developed our spectrum of grammar Nazi.
Yeah.
And we have where we have fixed.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a wonderful fellow, Mark Wilkinson. He's just wonderful. He's submitted to every single Polk Street Review that's ever existed. And he sent us a piece. He's a hoot. He sent us a piece this time for the 2020 edition called Blowing Things Up, which we just love. Mm-hmm. And
prize winner.
Won a prize, did a wonderful job at the book launch and everything. And I emailed him, and I wanted to change one phrase in one sentence. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I know what you mean, because I know him and I know his writing style. And I said, but I think people who aren't familiar won't understand what you're saying. And I said, how about this? And he emailed me back, that's fine. And I was like, okay, because I would never want to critique or insult him criticize or insult him in any way. It was a clarity thing that I felt was important in his piece. I didn't want anyone to stop at that moment and be like, huh? Right. I want them to just keep reading and enjoying the piece.
Right.
And I think it was a good edit. So you try, you know, to be cautious and careful, but also, you know, part of what we do, and you sort of alluded to this, is we're trying to, I don't want to say teach because that sounds very pompous, but we're trying to help our community of artists be better and better and better. And we challenge ourselves and challenge them to be outside the box and try something different. And I think part of that is editing. The editing process is part of that. So at least for me, it's helped me be a better writer, because sometimes when I'm writing something, I'm like, oh man, if Alice and Sarah E were editing this, they'd cut all this out. You know, I'm a better writer because of the editing that I've been kind of forced to do in our projects. So
I think we should throw this question to Deborah. So yeah. You as a contributor, what are your expectations when you submit on how much that magazine, that Pokeshirt Review, that...
Yeah,
that
not just art projects, anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
How much are they allowed to change your piece, do you feel?
I don't know. Sometimes I can be pretty greedy with my words.
Well, I know. It's territorial,
and,
right?
And yeah, and if it's, you know, I mentioned before, as an artist, I feel that we are conduits. Mm-hmm. That I feel that my best writing, at least what I see as my best writing, isn't mine. That it's that it's coming from some other source, and I'm just putting the pen on the paper. And to have someone else, an outsider, make changes to it, I don't know if this source would be as forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if I can speak to the source.
Yeah.
But you know, so there's a, you know, but I mean, but I would appreciate, you know, the critiques and the, you know, this is a better way of saying this, or this is unclear. I mean, I do appreciate that being
and that's
both
in workshops
sides of the table.
That happens easily.
But
in a publication
pieces,
it's not like, as easy. Yeah.
So I really, you know, I don't know. I guess it depends on the piece. You know,
sure.
How, you know, where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And but yes, I definitely welcome the feedback. I mean, I've got these two great minds here at this table that have guided me, and you know, instead of going to the left, I should be going to the right, or I should just be dancing a jig instead.
You can dance a jig.
You told
if you want.
Me, gave me permission if I that
that's
I could.
Right. You can dance a jig. I'll take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I greatly appreciate that because I can only grow from it.
Yeah, I feel the
but
same way you do. I think
that real
there's part of me that doesn't want anything edited. You know, there's part of me that's like, they changed what I said, you know.
Yeah.
So it's
and it's hard to say, and it's hard
being
to say
on
which
the other side.
Would be, you know, overly protective.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah. But do you feel like being on both sides of, I mean, you and I are on both sides that we submit places and we edit other people's stuff. So we're, again, on both sides of that experience, it's challenging, I think.
It is. And I hold things a lot more loosely than I used to.
Yeah.
Since I did a novel that I had to cut like 40,000 words out of in order to meet editor specifications, comes a point at which you just have to let it go or it ain't going to happen.
That's
your editor
right.
is going to...
Sorry,
you have to trust the editor sometimes.
Yeah.
And there were points at which I did say, no, we have to keep this chapter because it is important to the thesis of my fantasy book.
Right.
And they said, okay, you feel strongly, we're not touching that chapter. However, this part.
Yeah. It's a trade-off. Yeah. This is going to take us back to the circle of academia, but when I was working on my master's degree, I was comparing ancient place name sites in Ireland, you know, tying it together with mythology of Ireland, with the mythological stories of Ireland. And that was the main focus, but I also was doing the same thing with some Native American situations, I guess, experiences, place names, if you will, in America, because the Kennewick man bones had been found, and that was a controversy because, you know, tribes claimed them, the government and scientists claimed them, and there was all this controversy. And so I wrote about both. My master's thesis was on both because it was very similar kind of things going on. And I remember I gave my first draft to my team, my chair and my team, and they read it and they're like, okay, all the Kennewick man stuff has to go because this is a doctoral thesis. This isn't a master's thesis. I was like, I can't get rid of my Kennewick man. You know, I was like, no, but talk about, you know, I mean, I had a like
it's humbling.
I had to. I think I ended up with a 180-page thesis anyway. But what it would have been, I don't even know. It would have been 340 or something. It was horrible. So, but it was a hard lesson that, you know, save that for some other publication sometime. And I still have all that stuff somewhere, my poor Kennewick man. But so I think editing other people is very challenging. I think it helps us as writers to be better about our own writing process. I hope that, I guess what I would like to say publicly in our podcast and video series is that if anyone who ever submits to the Polk Street Review is not comfortable with us editing, please just talk to us about it. You know, and if we have to make serious edits, we usually tell the person. Yeah. We usually say, look, here's what we think, you know, mm-hmm. this would work better. What, you know, are you okay with that? Right. And I don't think we've ever had anybody who wasn't.
Yeah, we can use surface levels, and like, we will help tidy someone's hair. We're not going to like give them a nose job.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You'll still recognize them. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it. Editing is definitely one of the challenges. We were talking about challenges. We did the money challenges. Always money is always a challenge no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. Editing challenges. This past year, one of our challenges was losing our venue space that we'd rented for
long. Yes.
And so that in our minds, it kind of our workshops and our book launch were sort of in jeopardy because. You know, for a couple months there, we were like, well, what are we going to do? Because it was a kind of abrupt, you know, transition from renting a venue space to having no space, moving everything out and everything. And it was kind of like, well, we know we're going to have a book launch in February because that's when the book comes out every year. Mm-hmm. And this was back in, you know, late summer, early, you know, last year. And it was like, well, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And for those of you who came to the book launch and those of you who will watch the videos, we ended up using the Hamilton County Artists Association's Birdie Gallery, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And all the feedback that we got from people who went, including my husband, said it was just wonderful. It was great space.
Standing room only.
I mean, mm-hmm. historically, that's kind of been how our mm-hmm. book launches have been. But in that building, standing room only, there's only a certain number of folding chairs that they own, and we were beyond the folding chairs. We were definitely standing room only. People were sitting on every kind of little stool and stump they could find. So that was fabulous to find a place that's as welcoming and worked. It was a little challenging with some of our equipment, some of our technical stuff, but I think overall, just knowing that there are places in the local community that we can find for these one-shot events, one-time right. events, you know.
Right.
It is different than having our own venue that, you know, we just kept everything there. And we just showed up and said, tonight's an event, you know. Right. But now it's a little bit different.
Speaking to the acquisition of the Birdie Gallery goes with the idea that you had done some pre-work with bonding with that group beforehand.
Sure, because I'm a juried artist in there. Yes, right. I'm a juried artist in photography and 2D art and have been for several years. I've served on their board for 5 or 6 years. I don't even know. And so that was one of the first places I reached out to and said, right. Hey, we've got these events coming up. Can we use the gallery? And they kindly said yes. And we are a paid partner of theirs. I think it's important to support community arts organizations. And so, our organization opted to pay their nonprofit partnership level support. And, so that keeps us in good stead with them.
Right.
And we also had our nice presentation mm-hmm. event there. So right. That was in the fall last year after we'd lost our venue. So that was kind of a right. mad scramble.
Right.
So we knew the book launch would probably work. I didn't really know how space would work because the book launch is more crowded. Mm-hmm. There's more stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And so that was a little bit challenging, but it worked out really well.
It did.
I know, but even with these noted challenges, you guys made it look so easy.
Oh, no,
and, I mean, it was an easy.
You, are you saying you didn't see the stress on my face at every moment? Yeah.
Everything just flowed, you know, the way that you had set up the presentations. There was like an ebb and flow of energies and emotions and you know, the design. I mean, we were in this living gallery.
Yeah,
it's
a beautiful space that you know.
Not just the space, but the energy.
Yes, the energy
and the
too. It is nice
shared.
In the background of everybody's photos or videos or whatever. Mm-hmm. You see the latest exhibit of the Hamilton County Artists Association's juried artists on the walls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we had some of the pieces of art that were published in our book.
Mm-hmm.
Our artists brought those in and put them on easels about mm-hmm. the room here and there. But on the walls in the background was lovely artwork. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't beat that, right?
Stage,
yeah. So it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, I think it worked out really well. I do want to say that
it did.
Who thought that, you know, my face looked like I was having a miserable time or something, I wasn't. I was so happy. I was just a little stressed out and really, really tired. I'd been up since 3 a.m. and I'd been setting up since 4, and I was just tired, but I really did have a wonderful time. It was a gorgeous night, a wonderful night. So sorry if my face looked like I was like,
bleh. You look beautiful, Alice.
Aw, you're very sweet. You're very sweet.
Great. Should we move on to Nice?
Yes.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.